Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, March 20, 2016, 2 Timothy.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in preparation to worship our Lord, some of you I've been watching, you've been trying to read as your name on the list. You're hoping you're not on the bottom five, but some of you are. In preparation to worship our Lord, it is our custom in this local church to spend the first few moments in silent prayer. That's understanding some very important truths of Scripture. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. In that passage of Scripture, God provides a hope for the whole world. God loved the world so much, not just America, not just a certain race or a certain people, but God loved the whole world so much that He gave His Son. And that means He sent His Son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas. His mission was to go to a cross. And while the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, He solved a problem that the whole world has. You see, God makes it very clear in His Word that the whole world has a problem. And the world's problem is sin. And while Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and poured them out on His Son, Jesus Christ. And then He judged those sins in Christ once and for all. Having solved the world's problem of sin, God is now free to offer a gift. And that gift is eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And at that very instant of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and He enters you into union with Christ. And that really defines what Christianity is. It's not a religion, but it is a personal relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ, entered into by faith in Him. And at that very moment of faith in Christ, God imputes to you His righteousness, declaring you justified, vindicated. And He imputes to you the gift of eternal life, qualifying you to live with Him forever and ever. And once you're in union with Christ, you have eternal security. You can never, ever lose your salvation. Your salvation depends entirely upon who and what Christ is, not who and what you are. At the very same time, you're entered into fellowship with God in time, characterized by the filling of the Spirit. You can never lose your salvation. That's the grace of God. You can lose fellowship with God. One of the easiest things you can do. It's sinning after salvation. It's playing March Madness. You 31 people filled out their brackets. And I'm sure while you were watching, there were mental attitude sins. There were sins of the tongue. Hopefully you avoided overt sins like kicking the dog. But whatever category of sins you commit, you lose fellowship with God. The Bible says you're carnal, you're fleshly. You're operating according to the old sin nature rather than according to God the Holy Spirit. And everything that the sin nature produces is minus R unrighteousness. That's in contrast to God, who is plus R, absolute righteousness. And that creates a contradiction. A holy and a righteous God cannot, and He does not, fellowship with you as a believer when there's unrighteousness in your soul. Personal sins defile the soul of the believer, and therefore God demands that the soul be cleansed. And that cleansing is by grace. 1 John 1:9, God's problem-solving device for sin in your life after salvation. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, thereby restoring us to fellowship with God, which is the filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Here's the power to live the spiritual life, and here's the power to learn the Word of God, and that's why we're here. So in preparation to worship our Lord, we give you a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You, sir, for Your infinite and Your matchless grace. We are the total products of Your grace. All that we have and all that we are is because of who and what You are. And we thank You, sir, for the privilege that You've given to each one of us to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one to worship You, sir, the living and true God, through the study of Your Word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the NC2A basketball tourney has started. The first two rounds, the second round hasn't quite been completed. It'll be completed today. But up through 1.5 rounds, and like I said, there's 31 people in here who are involved in the March Madness at Upland Bible Church this year. We'll start out with the top five. So if I give the bottom five first, then they'll immediately go into rebound. We'll start with the top five. And my brother, he's not playing anymore. My brother, he's only got one arm. He's only got one leg. And with one arm and one leg, he can beat me at golf. With one arm and one leg, he beats me at bowling. And with one arm and one leg, he beats all of you in March Madness. I don't know how anybody's going to catch this guy. I've looked at his bracket. Somehow I think he's hooked up with the mob. But he has 84 points. Dana, after the first day, Dana was near the bottom. The second day, she scored 43 points while I scored 8. And I like Dana. a lot. At least I used to. But it's not nice to beat your father-in-law so, so bad. 81 for Dana. Then I had to put Deacon Dave because we got Brother Dave. If your name was Dave, you had a good chance to be in the top five. Deacon Dave at 74. And Tim Vanslow, what in the hell happened to you? Where did you come from? You're usually in the bottom five. Timmy's up there, number four. And Big Jerry, who's not even here, he's back teaching the kids back here. Good, I don't want him to get a big head. I mean, he's already big. Big Jerry's never even played before. And he's not playing again. That's the last time for him. Big Jerry has 70. That's the top five. The rest, that's the money area right there, the top five. You're going to have trouble with the rest of you. And then the bottom five. Jason Gordon at 39. He's not here. He's in Texas. Sandy. Sandy last year finished third. This year she's going to have trouble finishing third. Then there's Deacon Rick. Jamie, I told you, don't let Clay fill your bracket out. I knew that would happen. And then Cornelia. That's not her real name, but I would go incognito too if I was 29 points. And she's not going to give her real name either. So you're going to have to guess who Cornelia is. Israel, my glory. Some of you need to get a little sense of humor. Laughing's good for the body. This is the most recent Israel, my glory, March, April issue. This is by Steve Herzig, who was a Jew. He still is a Jew. But he was a Jew, and as an unbeliever, rejected when anyone tried to talk to him about Jesus Christ. In fact, he yelled at some of the Christians who gave him the gospel and said, "Don't ever talk to me about Jesus again. We Jews don't want to hear anything about Jesus." And then he was trusting in his own righteousness to get him to get into heaven. He was trusting in his own works and keeping the Mosaic law to be righteous enough so God would let him into heaven. But the harder he tried to keep the Mosaic law, the worse it became, and then he realized he could not keep the Mosaic law. And he realized that the righteousness by our works can't get anyone into heaven. The only righteousness that can result in anyone being in heaven is the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And that Jew believed in Jesus Christ, was imputed with the righteousness of God, and now he's qualified to live with God forever in heaven because of that imputed righteousness and the gift of eternal life. And now he writes for Israel, my glory. This article is the Israel Defense Forces recently detained 90 Birzeit University. I knew if I said Birzeit, some of you are thinking, hey, I want to go to that university. But it's not B-E-E-R. It's B-I-R-Z-E-I-T. Birzeit University. Detained 90 Birzeit University students, teachers, and employees for association with terrorism. The Birzeit University, which is located near Ramallah, probably the most prestigious and liberal of the universities within the Palestinian Authority-controlled area of Judea-Samaria, immediately denounced the action, claiming Israel violated the Palestinian education sector. However, what the university did not say is that it encourages violence against Israel. And many of its 11,000 students identify with Hamas. In fact, 26 of the 32 people elected to student government in 2015 openly support Hamas. And Hamas wants to obliterate Israel. In June 2014, when the majority of student council representatives were Palestinian Authority sympathizers, it handed out sweets, candy, to celebrate Hamas kidnapping of three Israeli teenagers whose bodies were found 2 weeks later. The following month, the Birzeit University Council supported Hamas by posing in front of fake Hamas rockets. Hamas launched thousands of rockets into Israel that year. Now, many Palestinian millennials, born roughly between 1980 and 2000, reject Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas and identify with Hamas, an internationally recognized terrorist group supported by Iran. The newly elected student government's first action was to elevate Bilal Barghouti to honorary chairman of the Birzeit University Student Council. Who is Bilal Barghouti? He is serving 16 life terms in prison in Israel for his role in suicide attacks against the Jewish nation. Birzeit University President Khalil Hindi applauded the students' commitment and cooperation. He said their conduct during the election reflected their sense of responsibility. Sense of responsibility. These responsible students now formally identify with an organization that is more violent than the Palestinian Authority. In December, they celebrated the 28th anniversary of Hamas's establishment by holding automatic weapons and standing over a mock Israeli soldier who was kneeling before a row of armed, masked men. A disturbing similarity to ISIS. No wonder most Israelis hold little hope for a two-state solution to the Arab-Israeli crisis. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll start the corrected translation, verse 1. Therefore, you, Pastor, teacher Timothy, my student, keep on becoming strong in that grace which is in Christ Jesus. And the things, the doctrinal teaching that you have heard from the source of me, and that word heard is the Greek word akouo, which means to listen to the teaching of the Word of God, under strict academic discipline. It means to listen and to concentrate by the agency of the filling of the Spirit. It connotes positive volition to Bible doctrine. It connotes genuine humility, respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. It represents Timothy's perception and metabolization of Bible doctrine under the Apostle Paul's spiritual authority. And the things, the doctrinal teaching that you have heard from the source of me, Paul as Timothy's pastor and theological professor, in the presence of many witnesses. And that word witness in the Greek is martus, which was a legal term used to describe a witness in a court of law. He is qualified to be a judicial witness because he saw the whole thing. These witnesses were believers in God's ordained classroom, the local church, when Paul taught Bible doctrine. Timothy assembled with the rest of the congregation, the rest of the witnesses, under the authority and the ministry of Paul. Timothy had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and he knew that a very important part of his preparation for the ministry was self-discipline. He understood the importance of self-discipline. And so he had the self-discipline to be there face-to-face when Paul was teaching. To be there face-to-face when Paul was teaching. To be there face-to-face when Paul was teaching. Again and again and again. It was very hard. It was very hard at the time that Paul wrote this to go to your computer. It was very hard to get an MP3. It was very hard to get a cassette. It was impossible, as a matter of fact. He knew he had the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, and he was preparing for the ministry, and he knew that that would take tremendous self-discipline. Hebrews 10:25, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." It means you have to be in the classroom, the local church, filled with the Spirit, concentrating on the doctrinal teaching, so that you can be prepared to teach this doctrine accurately to others. Now, pastor-teacher Timothy is communicating what he heard from Paul to his own congregation in Ephesus. These same doctrines. These are the same doctrines that Timothy learned from his pastor and theological professor Paul. These are the doctrines that were the basis of his spiritual growth from babyhood to spiritual adulthood. These are the doctrines he retained in his soul and are going to be communicated to his congregation through his spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. So everything Timothy learned under strict academic discipline and genuine humility from his pastor and theological professor Paul, he is now communicating to his own congregation. These same doctrines deposit. Very special word in the Greek, paratithemi. It was a banking term in the ancient world. It literally meant to make a deposit of money in a bank. And in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul uses this word three times. There are three different deposits described in 2 Timothy. Deposit number one is given in 2 Timothy 1:12. Deposit number one is the deposit of faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And then God guards that deposit from His omnipotence, guaranteeing eternal security. That's 2 Timothy 1:12. "For this reason I am also suffering these things, but I am not ashamed, for I have learned Bible doctrine in the past, with the result that I know whom I have believed, and am absolutely confident that He is able, the omnipotence of God, to guard my deposit, eternal salvation. The deposit is faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation against that day, the day of the last judgment. That's deposit number one. Deposit number two is found in 2 Timothy 1:14. The deposit of metabolized doctrine in the heart of the believer, which brings the believer to spiritual maturity. And the believer is commanded to guard that deposit through consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Verse 14, guard, protect that honorable, excellent, desirable, advantageous deposit that pleases God by the agency of the Holy Spirit who indwells us. Deposit number three is seen in our verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. The pastor makes a deposit of Bible doctrine with the ministerial students in his congregation through sound exegetical Bible teaching. This deposit is guarded by faithful men in the congregation who have maximum self-discipline to assemble every night under strict academic discipline and metabolization of the Word of God. Parathythemy is in the middle voice. The middle voice is what is known as an intensive middle or a dynamic middle. The dynamic middle voice places tremendous emphasis on the pastor to make this deposit of Bible doctrine into the souls of his ministerial students. The imperative mood is a command. This mandate is given to the pastor teacher. There were certain male believers in Timothy's congregation who had been given the spiritual gift of pastor teacher by God the Holy Spirit as salvation. Some were there who did not even know if they had the gift of pastor teacher yet because they were in spiritual immaturity. Others had enough spiritual growth to recognize that they had the gift of pastor teacher, and they were functioning under self-discipline and faithful to assemble every night, every day that Bible doctrine was taught by Timothy so they could metabolize the absolute truth of God's Word. These men who sit in the congregation today are the pastors of tomorrow. Today they sit in the congregation, tomorrow they stand up and teach Bible doctrine to the congregation. And they must be thoroughly, totally, and completely prepared. That is the dynamic middle of parathythemy. As Timothy teaches Bible doctrine to all the people in the congregation, he is at the same time preparing a few males who have the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Timothy is commanded to make a deposit of sound Bible doctrine to those who have the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Timothy has been promoted by God and given a flock of God's sheep with the spiritual authority to teach them Bible doctrine. Those in the congregation with the gift of pastor teacher, at that time while you're sitting in the congregation, you have no spiritual authority at all. You're a student without portfolio. You are there to be prepared. You're not currently prepared, and you have not been promoted by God and given a flock of His sheep. So while you may have the gift of pastor teacher, while you're sitting in a congregation, you have no authority at all in that congregation. You're not prepared, and you've not been promoted by God. Timothy's seminary, then, is his congregation. So in God's ordained classroom of the local church, you have two groups of people. The biggest group are all kinds of believers assembling and advancing spiritually, executing God's plan, will, and purpose for their life. And then secondly, you have a few males with the gift of pastor teacher preparing for the ministry. Deposit these same doctrines to faithful men. And the word faithful is the adjective pistos. Pistos means faithful, dependable, trustworthy, reliable. It emphasizes consistency, and therefore it emphasizes great self-discipline. Pistos does not say anything about a person's genius, says nothing about his mental IQ. Pistos doesn't say anything about a person's talents or abilities. Whatever your personal talents and abilities are, God doesn't care. Human talent, human ability, or genius is of no consequence to God. The things that impress man are not the things that impress God. What does impress God? Faithfulness, dependability, reliability, consistency. That is what God is looking for. He's looking at that in every member of the royal family of God. That's what God wants and expects. Faithfulness, dependability, reliability, consistency. This is true for all believers, but especially true for the man with the gift of pastor-teacher. This is being faithful to make the decision to assemble night after night after night, day after day, in a local church to get Bible doctrine. This is being faithful to come in spite of everything that's going on in your life. The most important quality of the pastor-teacher is his consistency, his faithfulness, his reliability to study and teach Bible doctrine day after day after day. No matter how he feels, sick or well, no matter what is going on in his family, in the city, in the nation, in the world. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher has to have great self-discipline. In fact, that is so important that the first analogy that the Apostle Paul is going to use to describe it is the military. And the military, to serve in the military, demands great, great self-discipline. To be an honorable soldier in the military demands great self-discipline. You don't, when you're recruited and you are in the military, you're in the Air Force, I don't care, Marine Corps, Army, Navy, make no difference. You go in and you say, you know what, I think you guys get up too early. Nothing before noon for me, let's do our drill after noon. That, do you think that goes on? Or, you know what, Sarge, family's coming in and I can't do drill today. We're going to go out and go to Lake Mead and go fishing. Oh, well, sure, why don't you go ahead and do that? And by the way, I'm not taking the rings out of my ear. You know, I'm a free spirit. I'm a free spirit, and I'd like to keep the rings in my ear and the one in my nose. The ones in the nipple, well, they might go. You see, we have this evil that's come into our culture called a free spirit. And our culture thinks that's awesome, that's great, being a free spirit. No, it's very evil, one of the most evil concepts going. There's no place for free spirits in the plan of God. You function under self-discipline, under authority, and it's no different than being in the military. When the military, and it's time to get out at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., you're out! And you're drilling and you're marching. And when the Navy SEALs say, get in the ocean and it's freezing, you get in there. And you do exactly everything that they say. You don't say, you know what, I'm really cold and this is... Can I go sit under the heater? Yes, you may. And just keep on going because you're now out. You're no longer a Navy SEAL. It takes great self-discipline. And it's interesting that that's the first analogy to describe the spiritual life for the royal family of God. No different than serving in the military. The self-discipline it takes in the military, the self-discipline it takes to live the spiritual life. But we have free spirits today that want to do what's right in their own eyes. They want to make their own rules. How many times in the military do you tell your commanding officer, you know, I want to make my own rules? Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen in the spiritual life either. Who shall be able to teach others also? And we have something here that's really something that's unique to Koine Greek. It's called a qualitative relative pronoun. Really cool. Qualitative relative pronoun. Hostess. H-O-S-T-I-S. Hostess. It emphasizes the characteristic quality by which a preceding statement is to be confirmed. The preceding statement is that they were faithful men, reliable men, consistent men. Men with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher who are consistent and faithful in assembling in a local church to get Bible doctrine. These men are qualified to teach others. You had to qualify these men, the ones who are consistent and faithful in assembling in a local church to get doctrine. These men are qualified to teach others, to be pastors of other congregations. Their consistency and faithfulness to assemble in a local church in strict academic discipline under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher to get Bible doctrine results in their advance to spiritual maturity. His advance to spiritual maturity results in him recognizing that he has the gift of pastor-teacher, and therefore he recognizes his need for preparation for the ministry. His preparation for the ministry demands being under every kind of authority. Every kind of authority. Fair and unfair. And many times it's more important to be under unfair authority than fair authority. And to function with honor, integrity, humility, and tremendous respect. If you can't function with tremendous respect and humility and honor toward unfair authority, you have no business being a leader anywhere. Leadership demands functioning under authority and functioning with humility, functioning with honor, respect, virtue. Functioning with great self-discipline under unfair authority as well as fair. And like I said, many times it's more beneficial and better for you to be under unfair authority and to operate with great honor and virtue, great humility, and do your job as unto the Lord. If you react to unfair authority, you have no business having any authority anywhere. He needs to develop great self-discipline and genuine humility, authority orientation. This preparation and being under fair and unfair authority, it may come through athletics. I've seen it in athletics. I've seen the coaches that were very unfair. And I've seen athletes function under that unfair authority and be absolutely magnificent under unfair authority. And they went out day after day after day and they gave everything they had. They gave 100% for that unfair authority. They did their job as unto the Lord day after day after day, even under unfair, bad authority. And you know what? I saw that and I said, you know, God is preparing these men for something very wonderful and very, very special. They're being prepared for leadership. Those are the ones who handle that unfair authority with honor, integrity, continue right on with virtue, because they have what? What do they have? I'll tell you what they have. They have virtue love. That's what they have. They have virtue love. They have personal love for God the Father, and that motivates impersonal love for all. And because they have impersonal love for all, they can operate with honor and integrity, virtue love, toward terrible authority. And they do their job as unto the Lord with great self-discipline. They don't react. They don't quit. They don't peel off. They stay right there. When they don't like what the coach is saying, walk out. That is the epitome of arrogance. Making an issue out of yourself. So it might be athletics. It might be the military. The same thing occurs in the military as well. In the military, you have great authority and you have suspect authority. Doesn't make any difference. You're under authority. The principle of authority is the key. And in the military, you learn. It's the principle of authority. Yes, sir. You do your job, you do it as a believer, as unto the Lord. And we have some awesome, magnificent men in the military. Absolutely phenomenal. With great virtue. Believers who have great virtue love. Who love God and have great impersonal love for all. And because of that, it doesn't make any difference who the authority is. But He is the authority. I've seen academics. There's all kinds of teachers. Great teachers and suspect teachers. There's even some bad teachers. And I tell all these kids when they're in school, doesn't make any difference whether the teacher's a bad teacher or a great teacher. He's the teacher and He's the authority. He establishes the policy and you execute it. And you show total respect to Him. All the time, 100% of the time. It's the principle of authority. Now the winner believer, this is one of the great things about the winner believer. He develops genuine humility. Genuine humility is respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. He develops virtue love. He loves God, and that motivates him to have impersonal love for all. He's occupied with Jesus Christ, and he knows he has been enlisted by the Lord Jesus Christ. At the moment of his salvation, Jesus Christ enlists all of you into the royal army. You've all been enlisted. At the moment of salvation, Jesus Christ is your commanding officer. You've all been enlisted by Jesus Christ. You're now a soldier. A soldier. Christian soldier. We had a fellow who was in this congregation for a long time. He always wanted to hear, "Onward, Christian soldier." That was his favorite hymn. I like it too. That took me all the way back to high school. My senior year in high school. And I had just become a believer between my junior and senior years. And we had a new football coach that year. And that football coach, when we turned into Joe Albey Stadium and we would play our high school football games in Joe Albey Stadium, I mean, that's a big deal. Well, he would have the whole team sing "Onward, Christian Soldiers." We're singing "Onward, Christian Soldiers" going in to play our football game. So it always had I always liked that as well. This fella, that was his favorite hymn. He'd come in and he'd say, "Dick, could we sing Onward Christian Soldiers?" I said, "We'll do it." I don't know if we can sing it, but we will definitely make a joyful noise. So this preparation and being under fair and unfair authority, may be through athletics, may be through the military, may be through law enforcement, may be through academics. It can be a lot of different ways. Ultimately, it demands preparation in a theological seminary for the one with the gift of pastor-teacher. Preparation in learning Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and systematic theology. Because the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher is the highest spiritual authority in the post-canon period of the church age, he must have a part of his training functioning under authority that is both fair and unfair. Who are of such a quality, namely faithful and consistent, that they will be able, the future active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the nominative plural singular of the adjective hikanos. Hikanos looks like this in the Greek. That's H-I-K-A-N-O-S. Hikanos. Hikanos means competent, qualified, and therefore able. With the verb eimi, it should be translated, who will be qualified. Future tense is a nomic future. The nomic future expresses a likelihood that something will happen. Because they are faithful and consistent men in their preparation for the ministry, there is a likelihood that they will be qualified to teach others also. The active voice, these faithful men perform the action of being qualified. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this principle in reality. Who are of such a quality, namely faithful and consistent, that they will be qualified to teach. Aorist active infinitive of the verb didasko. Didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K, long O. Didasko. Didasko is one of the main verbs in the Greek for teaching. The aorist tense is a culminative aorist, the culmination of their consistency, the culmination of their faithfulness to prepare for the ministry is that they are now qualified to teach the Word of God to others. The active voice, these consistent and faithful men with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher perform the action of teaching other believers once God promotes them and gives them a flock of His sheep to be a pastor-teacher over. The infinitive mood is epexegetical, completing the idea, will be qualified. Will be qualified what? To teach. The accusative plural masculine of the adjective heteros looks like this in the Greek. That's H-E-T-E-R-O-S. Heteros. Heteros means others of a different kind. Others, the flock of sheep that God gives to them to function as a pastor over. The conjunction chi is the adjunctive use of chi, should be translated also in the corrected translation of verse 2 then sounds like this. And the things, the doctrinal teaching that you have heard from the source of me, Paul is Timothy's pastor and theological professor. In the presence of many witnesses, deposit these same doctrines to faithful, reliable, consistent men who are of such a quality, faithful, reliable, consistent, that they will be qualified to teach others also. You see, there is a standard that God has established for men to be qualified to teach others. Now that brings us to verses 3 and 4. And in verses 3 and 4, we have the first analogy. And the first analogy is to that of being a soldier. The first analogy is emphasizing the importance of self-discipline. And it's taught by an analogy to serving in the military. The King James Version says, "Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And the one who has chosen you to be a soldier is Jesus Christ. You were enlisted at salvation. You're in the Royal Army. Now it starts out in the King James, it says, "Thou therefore," but this is not in the original autographs. There is no "thou therefore" in verse 3. So you can cross it out if you are studying from a King James Bible. There is no "thou therefore" in the original autographs. We have, first of all, the aorist active imperative of the verb sun kako patheo. Now this is a winner. This is a 25 center right here. Sung kako patheo. S-U, two gutturals together. The first one is transliterated like an N, and then a K-A-K-O-P-A-T-H-E, long O. Sung kako patheo. All right, we need to get a few concepts on this and get this nailed down. First of all, this is a compound word, a triple compound word, made up of the preposition soon. Preposition soon means together with. And then we have kakos. Kakos is the Greek word for evil. Evil, hardship, and it's referring to all of the undeserved suffering that the communicator of the Word of God is going to go through. If you have the gift of pastor teacher, I'm going to tell you right now, well, one, you need to prepare for the ministry, but two, when God promotes you and gives you a flock of His sheep, you will come under tremendous undeserved suffering. Evil. Absolute. There is no faithful communicator of the Word of God that has not come under an attack. Sometimes the attack is from Satan and the cosmic system. Unfortunately, this is the sad part, many times the attack comes from the royal family of God. But you will come under undeserved suffering. You will come under tremendous pressure, attack. But Paul says to Timothy, you're going to come under it, but join me. Join me. He is undergoing this and he's asking Timothy, join me in this undeserved suffering, this evil. And then patheo, which means to suffer. So it's a triple compound word that literally means, point two, it literally means to suffer evil together with someone else. To suffer evil together with someone else. Three, Paul is suffering evil because of his faithful teaching of God's Word. Paul is suffering evil because of his faithful teaching of God's Word. Four, now he is saying to pastor teacher Timothy, join with me in suffering evil by teaching the grace and truth of God's Word. Now he is saying to pastor-teacher Timothy, join with me in suffering evil by teaching the grace and truth of God's Word. 5, sun kako patheo then means not only to suffer evil, but to, in the sense of suffering hardship. Hardship. 6, this hardship is undeserved suffering. Undeserved suffering for blessing. That every faithful communicator of God's Word will receive. Absolute. It's a guarantee. So you want to make sure you have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. There are some men that go to seminaries to prepare and they don't have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. If you don't have the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, do not go to seminary and prepare, because as soon as you get hit with this undeserved suffering, you're going to say, you know what, I don't really have this gift of pastor-teacher, and I'm going to turn it over to somebody else, and I'm going to go work at McDonald's. Well, I wouldn't work at McDonald's either. That's the last place. I don't even go in and use their bathrooms there. So. You have to have some standard, you know. I'd rather just pee my pants than go into McDonald's. Well, so much for the dignity of the clergy. I flunked that course. So this is undeserved suffering for blessing that every faithful communicator of God's Word will receive. 7, because of the pastor-teacher's faithfulness to communicate the absolute truth of God's Word, he will suffer evil and hardship. Because of the pastor-teacher's faithfulness to communicate the absolute truth of God's Word, he will suffer evil and hardship. 8, first of all, this evil and hardship will come from the world, Satan and his cosmic system. First of all, this evil and hardship will come from the world, Satan and his cosmic system. 9, the world will throw at the faithful pastor-teacher the worst pressure, evil, and suffering possible. Satan's cosmic system will throw at the faithful pastor-teacher the worst pressure, evil, and suffering possible. 10. Sadly, this evil and hardship will also come from fellow members of the royal family of God, fellow believers. Sadly, this evil and hardship will also come from fellow members of the royal family of God, fellow believers, who in arrogance react to the pastor's teaching of God's Word. Who in arrogance react to the pastor's teaching of God's Word. 11, this results in the evil of mental attitude sins, and sins of the tongue. Sins of the tongue are a vicious and horrible evil. Gossip, maligning, judging, slandering, in arrogance, undermining, and trying to destroy God's faithful servant. So this results in the evil of mental attitude, sins, and sins of the tongue. Gossip, maligning, judging, slandering, and arrogance, undermining, and trying to destroy God's faithful servant. 12, the Apostle Paul is suffering this evil. The Apostle Paul is suffering this evil as he writes this epistle. First of all, he is undergoing an unjust imprisonment and awaiting an unfair execution. He is going through an unjust imprisonment and awaiting an unfair execution. Secondly, with the arrogant reaction and rebellion of Phygellus and Hermogenes, who have rejected Paul's teaching and are now influencing other believers into reversionism with themselves. With the arrogant reaction and rebellion of Phygellus and Hermogenes, who have rejected Paul's teaching and are now influencing other believers into reversionism with themselves. Principle: all pastor teachers who faithfully teach grace and truth will suffer evil and hardship, not only from Satan's cosmic system, but sadly from fellow believers as well, and believers who should know better. All pastors who faithfully teach grace and truth will suffer evil and hardship, not only from Satan's cosmic system, but sadly from fellow believers as well, and believers who should know better. The aorist tense is constative, viewing the spiritually mature pastor teachers' undeserved suffering in its entirety. The active voice, pastor teacher Timothy, is going to perform the action of the verb, and the imperative mood is a command. Suffer evil and hardship, undeserved suffering, with me. Command. Suffer evil and hardship, undeserved suffering, with me. All right. Then it says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But this introduces something really awesome. Maybe you haven't thought of the spiritual life in these terms, but God does. This is how God thinks of the spiritual life. We'll take a break. Give you a few minutes to go outside, stay inside, whatever you'd like.